Welcome to the deep dive. Ever felt, limited by those cloud AI subscriptions? Or maybe just wanted more control of your AI tools? Well, today we're diving into how you can actually build your own powerful AI assistant and coding environment right on AWS.
Yeah, think like having your own Replit ghostwriter or Cursor AI, but totally self-hosted.
Exactly. Full control, you run the models you want locally, well, cloud locally, and no recurring SaaS fees eating away at your budget.
That's the mission, right? A setup that's powerful, flexible, and hopefully cost-effective. We're drawing on a really solid guide for developers here.
We'll cover things like picking the right AWS machine, getting it all set up automatically, keeping it secure, coding remotely, all that good stuff.
And managing the costs too, which is key. Plus some interesting bits about how much memory VRAM these models actually need.
Right, VRAM. So let's start there. The source material really hammers home that choosing the right EC2 instance is, well, critical. And the GPU, especially its VRAM, is the big deal for running these models. Why VRAM?
Well, you can think of VRAM as the AI model's workspace. It's a dedicated memory. Bigger models, more complex ones, they just need more space to work, so more VRAM.
Okay.
Now, there's this technique, quantization. It basically lets you shrink the model down so it uses less VRAM, kind of like zipping a file.
Ah, okay, like compression.
Exactly. But there's a trade-off. If you compress it too much, quantize it too heavily, the model might not be as smart, especially for tricky stuff like generating code.
Right, you don't want dumb code suggestions.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at VRAM-wise for some common models people might want to rent?
It varies a lot. For something really big like a Llama 370B, even with decent quantization, you might need like 40, maybe 50 gigs of VRAM. That Yeah. often means needing multiple GPUs.
Wow, okay, multi-GPU.
Yeah. But then you have mid-range stuff like Mixtral 8x7B, maybe needing around, say, 27 to 30 gigs. And smaller ones like DeepSeek Coder or Phi 3.5 can fit into 5-7 gigs
Well,
roughly.
that helps frame it. The guide mentions two main EC2 families, G4DN and G5. What's
Yeah.
the difference there?
So G4DN instances, they have NVIDIA T4 GPUs, 16 gigs of VRAM, decent for smaller models, but the G5s, they use A10G GPUs, and even the smaller G5.X Large has 24 gigs.
Some more VRAM headroom.
Right, and generally better performance for AI tasks. The guide kind of leans towards G5 for better bang for your buck, especially if you want flexibility. And for that huge Llama 370B, you'd need a bigger G5, like the G5.2X Large.
Got it. And costs.
Ah, yes. The secret weapon here is spot instances. They can save you a ton of money compared to on-demand prices if your workload can handle potential interruptions.
Okay, spot instances. Good tip. So we've notionally picked our instance. How do we actually get the AI software running? A Llama seems to be the recommendation.
Yeah, a Llama is suggested as a great starting point. It's pretty user-friendly, supports lots of models, easier to get going with than maybe local GPT for just general assistance.
And getting the drivers and stuff installed. NVIDIA setup can be tricky.
Oh, definitely. That's why the guide strongly suggests using an AWS Deep Learning AMI. An AMI is like a pre-configured machine image. These ones come with Ubuntu, NVIDIA drivers, CDA, all that stuff already set up. Saves a lot of headache.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Start smart. Okay, so we have the base OS and drivers. How do we manage a Llama itself and maybe the code editor?
Docker and Docker Compose. These let you package a Llama and Code Server, that's the remote code editor, into containers. Keeps everything neat, isolated, and easy to manage.
Right, containerization.
Yep. The guide even outlines a setup script, like a setup.esh, that automates installing Docker, the NVIDIA toolkit needed for GPU access inside containers, setting up directories, writing the docker-compose.aml config file.
So run one script and it does most of the heavy lifting.
Pretty much sets up Nginx too, which we need for secure access.
Okay, let's talk security in Nginx. How does that fit in?
Nginx acts as the front door, a reverse proxy. It handles the secure HTTPS connection, the SSL part, so traffic is encrypted, and it directs incoming requests. Some go to the Llama API, maybe at a path like a Llama, others go to Code Server.
One entry point for everything.
Exactly. And it's crucial to configure Nginx to handle WebSockets correctly because Code Server needs that for its real-time interactive features. Plus, you add security headers, set up SSL certificates with Let's Encrypt, the usual web security best practices.
Got it. And Code Server, that's like VS Code in the browser. How do we set that up?
Yep, that's the idea. You can install it using their official script or just run it in Docker, which fits nicely with the Compose setup we mentioned. You can figure things like the address it listens on, set a password for access, obviously.
Password, right. Don't want just anyone coding on your instance.
Definitely not. And you make sure it runs reliably, either as a system service or using Docker Compose's restart policies. So if it hiccups, it comes back up. Then you just access it through that secure Nginx proxy URL.
Okay, makes sense. Now, the cost management piece. Running a GPU instance 24/7 can get expensive, even spot. How do we automate shutting it down?
So instead of just running a shutdown command from inside the instance using cron, which can be a bit fiddly, the guide recommends a more robust AWS native approach using AWS Lambda and EventBridge Scheduler.
Lambda and EventBridge, how does that work?
You write a tiny bit of code in Lambda, a function whose only job is to tell AWS to stop your EC2 instance. Then you use EventBridge to schedule that Lambda function to run automatically, say, every night at 11 p.m. or whatever your off hours are. It's more reliable and secure.
Clever. Okay, the bottom line. What kind of monthly costs are we actually looking at if we do this, let's say, with a scheduled shutdown?
Okay, rough estimates. Obviously depends on usage and spot pricing. But maybe for that G5.X large shutdown most nights and weekends, maybe running 220 hours a month, you might be looking at around, say, $86 a month using spot.
$86. That's actually pretty reasonable for your own powerful AI coding setup.
Yeah. Now, if you needed that bigger G5 TOT12X large for Llama 70B, same schedule, maybe closer to $390, $400 on spot, still way less than running it 247 on demand, which for the G5.X large could easily top $740.
Wow, okay. So the savings from spot and scheduling are huge.
Massive. It's the key to making this affordable.
So wrapping up, the big takeaway seems to be you can build your own powerful, customized AI dev environment in the cloud. You get control, flexibility, and if you manage it smartly, potentially big cost savings compared to subscriptions.
Absolutely. It takes some setup, but you get a lot in return.
So here's something to think about. Imagine having that personal AI powerhouse tailored just for you. What kinds of truly custom AI tools or, I don't know, specialized coding assistants would you build if you had that level of control?
Mm-hmm.
That's something to explore. Definitely check out the resources if you're thinking of diving in yourself. Thanks for tuning into this deep dive.